We're in the sugya. We're learning da es midas nacha. From Rabbi Sommer. And we're coming towards the end of the sefer. But each parak, even for those who have not been learning the sefer until now, it's a limud that can be learned parak by parak, and it's relevant. And I believe it's very, very much a part of the hashgacha of what we're in right now. So we're talking about a midah that's one of the midas hanefesh. We don't usually think of it like this. We usually think of this as being a problem, which is shikha, forgetting. And it's a midah because we're going to learn that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have seen, and we've learned about this over the years in different places in Chazal, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu says that he has chosen a certain type of a selective memory. There are things about us that he remembers, and there are things about us that he chooses to forget. Bar Hashem. There are things that he chooses to forget. So what is this midah of shikh? And we're learning this ba'oimik, what this is. This is deeply connected to the yesod of what this entire sefer is about, the yesod of afar, of earth. But we're not going to go into that connection right now. We did it at the beginning of the parak. So let's just continue where we left off. Just to chaza that last line on page Reish Chaf. V'misha b'shaz diburo medabik atzma v'mokam shachu haya hayve v'yiyah. Shom ein shikha. Remember, we were learning that there's a reason why we forget. There was a time in history when we were able to overcome this inyan of forgetting by Har Sinai for a short time. We were able to remember everything. And now we can't. Remembering everything can only be in the context of hearing words, communicating in a way where that communication transcends the present tense. Hashem is Hoya, Hoy Viviya. And when we heard Hashem speak to us at Har Sinai, it was a kol gadol lo yasaf lo pasak. It means that had we not messed ourselves up with the Chet Ha'Egel, and then, you know, asking Moshe Rabbeinu, we can't deal with this, all the other stuff that comes with life apart from Hashem. Ideally, we would hear Hashem and we wouldn't forget what he says. Because Shikha, Lishkoach, is the same letters as Choshech, darkness, and Chasach, the withholding. And the darkness that withholds memory from a human being is that we only live in the present. We're limited to thinking back on the past and anticipating the future, but we're not constantly anywhere except the constant moment that we're in. And that moment that we're in is here, and then it's gone. And that's it. So, gemara. So, is there a way to improve our memory? And I mentioned at the end last week that there are many gimmicks, some real and some not, some holy and some not, of how to strengthen a person's memory. But that's not what we're talking about. Strengthening one's memory of statistics, of facts, and so on. But talking about remembering something much more important. It's now the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon. It's Lag BaOmer. And Rabbi Shimon, of course, was the one who revolted against the pessimistic conclusion that was reached by the great Chachamim at that meeting in Yavne, who felt that Asida Torah Shetishtakach Mi Yisrael, that we're forgetting Torah. We're not going to be able to remember Torah. And the forgetting of Torah doesn't just mean the chomer, the material. It means forgetting the neisna Torah. We're losing it. And Rabbi Shimon said, no, kilos ha-shakach mi pizaro. It says in Torah, kilos ha-shakach mi pizaro. It's not going to be forgotten. What is it about Rabbi Shimon that causes us to remember Hashem? I'll talk about that. We're going to learn about that a little bit now, and I'll talk about it a little bit more like Bo'emer. If I don't forget, I have something in my mind, I might forget by then. But right now, it's on my mind to talk more about it, Bo'emer, maybe on like Bo'emer. One of the tools that Hashem gave us of remembering is tznius. Tznius. And as I mentioned last week, and we've been learning throughout this parak, tznius here is, we're not talking about sleeves and elbows and knees and stuff like that, although that's part of the sugya, but that's like the end. We're talking about the shurish of what tznius is, which we touched upon earlier. Well, how does this relate to remembering? And to Rabbi Shimon. So on page Reish Chof Aleph, I hope everybody has the pages. I know these things can be done electronically very quickly, so if someone doesn't have it, I'm sure that someone can send it to you. So on page Reish Chof Aleph and Das Midasech. Haloi mid Torah bitzina einam shekeach. So it says in Yushalmi, Bris Krusa, Amar Chazal, Bris Krusa hi, that there's a bris. As Hashem revealed through Chazal, that there's a bris, a covenant. That's a strong thing. Bris krusehi, hayageya talmuda bebeis haknesses, that if a Jew sits, davke, if a Jew sits in shul, beis haknesses would also include a beis hamedrash, as the mefarshim say. If a person sits in shul and beis hamedrash, and is yageya betalmuda, and he works hard at what he's learning, Loi b'mheira m'shakeach. He doesn't forget that quickly. He doesn't forget it. When you learn at home, or if you're learning, even if you're learning in a Beis HaMedrash, in a Beis HaKnesses, but it's not Bitzina, because there are two things here. The Gemara says, the Beis HaKnesses, the place, a holy place, and the second thing is bitzina. Bitzina. Such a person is connecting to a higher level of memory, to a certain kind of an energy of remembering. Not perfect, because again, we're post Gan Eden and Maimon Har Sinai, and we're in Golus, so you forget. But one can retain memory of what's important in life, particularly by this recommendation of Chazal, of learning in a holy place, in a way that's tzanua. So, meheichan noveh mahal zeh. What is this? What's the Gemara talking about? Hagdoros hadavar, lefi hamizboer. The way to understand this, according to what we've been learning, haloi metar bitzina. The focus here is on the tznius part. Haloimid Torah b'tzina. In a Malkum Kodesh, we can understand. That doesn't need as much explanation. But what's the inyan of tznius? Haloimid Torah b'tzina. Midabig is atzmai b'yoshev b'seser elyain. If there's one thing that every one of us can say with absolute certainty about Hashem, is that we don't get him. We can't see him. To us, there is no one who is more hidden and tzanua than Hashem. I mean, we hope, we're begging that he should be a little less shy. He should reveal himself to us. But the mid of Hashem is Yoshua b'seisu Elia. He dwells in exalted concealment. He dwells in concealment. Shekain, kifian shenesbor la'el besugis etznias, And we learned earlier in this sugi of tznias that we're learning earlier about in the Yisod of Afar, Hatsanua behei ha'yidia, hu bari ha'olam, the tsanua, the most tsanua, as I just said, is the Creator. Hashem is the most tsanua. No one has ever seen him. Lo yirani ha'olam v'chai. And even his will and his thoughts and his feelings, kivyochel, are expressed to us only through mediums that themselves are very mysterious. He's most hidden, most tsanua. Hu b'yerlam, nigla b'pu'ulaysav, v'ne'elam b'mahusav. He's only known to us through what he does. But his mahus, his who he is ne'elam, is hidden from us. Haloymed taira b'tzina. When a person learns taira b'tzina, Midabik is atzma but mitzius habayri. Remember, the way to remember is by attaching oneself to the only one who is hayu hayviviya, to Hashem who transcends forgetfulness, to Hashem is constantly in the present. Hashem doesn't, the inyan of Hashem is not past, future. Hashem is always, forever now. All the mechitzas of time and space don't affect Hashem. To the degree that a human being can attach himself to Hashem, through all of the midas, Rachum, Machanan, and so on, Chesed, Gvura, Teferis, all of the midas, but in particular, to this midah of Tznius, to the degree that the person can do that, he is ascending into a reality that's called Yoisha B'Seser Elya. Just as Hashem is to be found in darkness, Sof Kol Sof, where did Moshe Rabbeinu receive the Torah? So Moshe Rabbeinu had to ascend, Vayal Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu had to go up to Sinai, and the Torah tells us that there was Choshech, Onan, Arafel, three levels of concealment of darkness. A Mechitza within a Mechitza within a Mechitza, where Moshe Rabbeinu had to ascend to. No one else could go to where Moshe Rabbeinu went. But Moshe Rabbeinu entered into that darkness, which Rabbi Nachman talks about, the Maran, an amazing Torah, which we learned years ago. Because in truth, for any one of us to really receive the Torah, we too have to enter into that darkness, into that cloud. In the Mizgeres of what the sugya that we're learning now, it means to be in a place not only of Kedusha, but in a way of tznius, being tsanua, being hidden. Haloi mitar b'tzina, medabig is atzmai, b'mitzius habar yizbar shumai shehu tsanua. It's interesting how Rabbi Shimon acquired Shom Kanisa Hoidcha V'Hadarecha. Over there he acquired Hoidcha V'Hadarecha, the deepest, deepest secrets of Torah, the deepest Torah ever. He received it in a place that's Ma'od Tzanua. He received it in the Ma'ara, in the cave. He didn't receive it in the Beis HaMedras with his chaver. And he had very choshva chaver. He didn't receive it in the Beis HaMedras with his chaver. He received that Torah, just like Moshe Rabbeinu had to enter into the darkness. Choshech anan and arafel. Asher shom ha'elokim. That's where he found Hashem, whose Yoshev is Seisev Elyon, who dwells in darkness and mystery and concealment. So too Rabbi Shimon had to go to such a place of Choshech, Anon, and Arafa to receive the Torah. Teres HaNista, Teres HaZoyer. Because the Hechet Timtza of Rabbi Shimon is Kilos HaShakach, is unforgettable Torah. unforgettable Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, Rabbi Shimon's Torah, unforgettable Torah needs to be received as a kiss, as a neshika, mouth to mouth, without interference. As we learned earlier, any outside turbulence, noise, any outside, any reality outside of that connection obstructs that communication of the Devar Hashem. And Hasina, we heard Hashem say himself, Anochi Hashem Lekach. And Amuna is something which is embedded in the soul of the Jew from that. Hashem kissed us, as we learned earlier in the parak. And we're asking Yishakeni Minishikos Piyu, that he should continue and to give us all the secrets of Torah, but not stop to give it to us in a classroom, not stop to give it to us on a program on the computer, but to give it to us in the way that it was given to us and it was communicated to us in the way of a neshika. Now, how that takes place with millions of people, we leave that up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, what we're learning now is that in order to receive Torah in the deepest way, it has to be in a way that's sanua, concealment and hiddenness. It's very different from everything nowadays, which is, as I mentioned many times in the past, you could have a person that he's only learning Torah for a week and he already has his own blog. You know, Parshas HaShavua, he doesn't know what the word Parsha means. He doesn't know what a Shavua is. He can't spell his name in Hebrew, but he already has a blog thing up for his Torah ideas. He's already out there in the world. He's already out there. And there's a reason why Sisrei Torah was given over so secretly over the years. Right, now it's the end of time, and Hashem told us a long time ago that when this time will come, that the secrets have to be put out very much in the open. There's a great danger in that, even now. And that's why now there are many, many people that are learning Sisrei Torah, but they're not really getting it, because it's not done in a way that's sanua. So even now when we're allowed, now B'dor Basra, not only are allowed, but it's a huge mitzvah. It's the Tzav Hashah now to learn Pnimiyas HaTorah. But if a person is not sanua, he's not going to get it. It's an amazing thing. Do you ever hear something like this? Steve Levine, over there, you see me, Steve. Steve Levine is a big neurologist and a much bigger Jew, and he's a good friend. Nobody ever told Steve that when he's in medical school, that the only way that you could be makabel this chachma is by being in a cave, by being tzanua. Nobody ever said such a thing. And his rebbeim in medical school, they weren't makabel it in such a way. They're makabel in a lecture, in a laboratory, in a lab, in a lecture hall. Makabel it like Rabbi Shimon to be in a cave. And now when you go on the computer, like last night, my wife was all nervous about something that there was somebody that was saying about some medical thing with what's going on. I don't look at any of these things at all. I get my information from my wife and from some of you. Just if there's something like I need to really know, you'll tell me. I hope, like if we have to go down to the shelter or something, you let me know. So my wife was all upset because some big maven said something on the computer. And she was all upset. And it sounded to me to be a little bit exaggerated. I thought it was a little bit exaggerated. You know, this is going to go, maybe it's true. I don't know, for years. This is going to be for years now. This whole thing we're in right now is going to be for years. I said, I don't know. She said, no, but you have to hear this doctor graduated from every Ivy League school and has a PhDs all over his wall. So I said, so what's the nafki minute? Listen to me. I said, Michla, 15 minutes from now, there's going to be on the other station a different doctor that's got more things on his wall than this guy that's going to say, Dagenish, it's not going to be for years. Yeah, right. We'll see. We'll get back together soon. It's going to be okay. I don't know. I'm not paskening because I don't know anything about this stuff. But all I know is that any doctor that wants to get onto the computer can put his thing up on the computer. And then the next thing you know, he's some sort of a guru, just like anybody can put up a Dvar Torah. And then you got 20 people quoting somebody that doesn't know what the word Torah means. And they're saying over Dvar Torah. So, true acquisition of Torah In other words, that it sinks into the essence of who you are and becomes unforgettable Torah. Where it is only Torah that comes in a way of sneeze. That's how. It's an amazing thing. The Gemara is not saying that a guy can't go to learn in the Beis Medrash. Last night in the Pirkei Avos, we were talking about Asar Shiyashim. 10 people sit and learn the Shechinah Shruya, and we're learning about Talmud Torah, the Rabbim, remember? Some of you were there. Last night we were learning about the advantage of what? The Chshivas of when you're learning Torah with the Chabura, and that it's Ke'ein being at Har Sinai. It's an unbelievable thing to learn Torah B'Rabbim. But that the Torah should be the deepest Torah, and there should be a Torah that you don't forget, it requires a person, even after being at that Chabura and being at the Shia, to retreat into the cave, and that it should really sink in. It requires sneeze. Now, how that's lamaisa, especially nowadays, where any time that a person has some interesting Torah, you know, it's right up, he posts it, everything is being posted, just like we're doing right now, where this Zoom, we're posting. But I had, I'll tell you an interesting thing. I had, today's Thursday, on Tuesday night, I had tremendous schus. I was talking to boys from the shul, to the post bar mitzvah boys from the shul, questions that they had, and I was discussing with them. We had our own little Zoom, and I made it tonight a condition that I do not want to invite anybody from outside, other chever, other bachrim from outside, and I don't want this posted now. I want to be able to talk to you, sevishnuns, to talk to you. We can't get together right now in person, but I want to talk to you at least like this, at least a talk to you, that it should be you. There should be tzanua. It should be tzanua. Now, he goes on to explain, Mishum kach, Ein Adam lomed roiv chachmasai ela belayla. So the Rambam says, when the Rambam is speaking about the crown of Torah, how to acquire the crown of Torah. The Rambam says, "Ein adam lomed rov chachmas ala b'layla." Most of the Torah that one acquires is at night. Rov chachmas. Now you might say, "I'm not a night guy; I'm a day guy." What does this mean? I'm not going through this in detail now, because you understand the Rambam is talking about something much deeper. He didn't make this up. This comes from Chazal also. What is it about learning Torah at night? All right, night is not the same night now like it used to be. It used to be that at night, everything was quiet, everything was dark, and you'd sit. Most people went to bed when it got dark outside, and there you were sitting by the candle, learning. No phone calls, no texts, no emails, not a sound outside. I used to have this in the summers in the bungalow colony 35, 40 years ago. We didn't have a phone. There was only a pole in the middle of the bungalow colony with one payphone. That was it. Didn't have a phone. David Kamali, you visited us over there in that place. It was in Monticello. When you were a young man. There was one phone in the middle of the bungalow colony, and they had to say Weinberger. But there were no calls at unless it was Chas Shalom. There was no calls at after 9 o'clock was finished. Ein adam lomed roiv chachmosa ala b'layla, because the layla, the night, is a time that's tzanua. It's a time that is hidden, of hiding. It's a time of hiding, of being in a cave. Hagdaras adav l'inyanenu. The fact that you're learning Torah at night in the darkness, of course we have electricity, but it means that you're entering into the chayshach that Moshe Rabbeinu went into on some level. Because the night, by definition, is a time that's tzanua. Even though now we have lights and it's busy, but still the night is by definition a time that's tzanua. That's why, even though we have all the electricity, everything, still the night is the time to rest and sleep, except for some people that have to work, you know, through the night, and they sleep at day. But the teva of the world is still that the night is a time of tznius. It's mod tzanua. Chayshach shu zman shel tzena, because darkness is tznius. People are not seeing each other. Tzanua. Hu medabek es atzmo b'tzanua ha'amiti. And that's why the most opportune time to attach oneself to the one who is most tzanua, who is Hashem, is at night. To the one who is haya, shu haya, hayvi v'yiyah. The one who transcends time, and mimela is not subject to the problem of forgetfulness. Hashem is not subject to forgetting. The one who is Yoishe B'Seisir Elyon, who dwells in darkness, where do you find him? You find him in darkness. Chagig Gemara talks about the place that Hashem lives. There are different names for that. Hashem, obviously, just like he transcends time, he transcends space. And yet, Hashem has chosen to reveal in Tanakh certain addresses. I don't know what else to call them. So the Gemara in the first parak identifies or reveals, what's a pasuk? One of Hashem's addresses, where you could find him. It says in Pasuk, B'mistarim tivke nafshi. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that B'mistarim, in a hidden place, my soul is crying. It says such a Pasuk about Hashem. And the Gemara says, Mokim Yeshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem has a place that's called Mistarim. And over there, he's crying. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? But it says, Hashem is happy, so how can you say Hashem is crying? So the Gemara says that Hashem has, but there's also the Gears of Rabbi Hanan and the Gears of Rashi. It's Rashi, Rabbi Hanan over there in the Gemara. But the Gemara says, Hababate Gavoy, Hababate Baroi. Hashem shows himself, going with the Mahalach that the Mekubalim bring down from Rabbi Hanan. Hashem shows himself in the world, ki'ilu, everything is gevaldik, the sun is shining now, the trees are growing. But he has a place that's in the darkness, that's hidden, that you and I can't see. It's called Mistarim. Mistarim tivke nafshi. Hashem is crying there over the Churban. That's what Gemara is talking about. Mistarim tivke nafshi. About the golus of the Jewish people, about our tzaras. He has a place that's called Mistarim. There's a Torah from the Eish Kodesh, Sussi Elena, that we learned many times over the years. Where the Rebbe was saying to people who feel that Hashem is just not with us and all that we're going through. And the Rebbe was talking about, if you really want to know what Hashem feels about the time that we're going through, you have to be a person that is able to join Hashem in his place. And his place is called Mistarim. And in that place that's called Mistarim, Hashem is crying much bigger tears than we are. Even though we can't imagine that, we don't know what that means. Hashem has a place that's called Mistarim. And in that place, he's crying over our godless now, tzaras. So why doesn't he end it? That's not our conversation for now. Because he made this world in such a way where we have to work with him. But he has an address that's called Mistarim. Hashem's address is not on the outside. There's Bate Baroi, that's the outside, and there's Bate Gavoi, that's the inside. And Hashem on the outside is like, shows himself, he reveals himself in a way that's like, you know, happy and, you know, fun, stuff that's going on. But B'mistarim is Tivka Nafshi. And the Rebbe, the Pizasna, was saying that if you want to get a taste of that pain that Hashem is in when we're suffering, then you have to be a Jew that knows how to go into the darkness and to get past all of the guards, to go into that hidden place that's of Hashem, where he is, that's called Mistarim. And at that place, B'Mistarim, even here, like the English word mystery, Mistarim. And that hidden, mysterious place, Mistarim, B'Mistarim Tivke Nafshi. There Hashem says, I'm not happy with you. I'm crying. I'm crying more than you're crying. It hurts me more than it hurts you. It's the same Yisai that we're learning now. Adam she'ena lo'y meter b'tzena. So Rav Schwartz goes on and says, a person who does not learn Torah b'tzena, chalalav ha'choshech, chalalav ha'shikcha. In other words, it comes out like this. If you don't learn Torah in the choshech and in the tznias, then the letters of choshech become what? Shachoach. This means we forget. Shikcha means to forget. Or as a person says when he doesn't remember something, he doesn't understand something, he says, I'm in the dark. I don't get it. I'm in the dark. So here it's a davar v'hipucha. Learning Torah in the darkness and at night, in a mokum, sanua and nistar, helps a person to overcome the issue of shikcha, of forgetting. But not learning in the choshech means that the choshech takes over your mind, and the choshech becomes shachoach. You forget your learning. You forget your Torah. Again, we're not talking here just about remembering facts and so on, but forgetting. It means forgetting what's the tachlis of all of this. Hodnam shein alamei Torah b'tzin, ha'chalav v'chayish ha'chalav ha'shikha, kumitzius shel dovra shahoyva achsha bilvat. Because if you're not learning B'tzina, that means you're not entering to Hashem's world, you're not going to his address. Since you're not at his address, only by his address is something, it was, is, and will be. It's something which is permanent, always was, and always will be. In other words, that it's unforgettable. But you're not learning Torah together with Hashem in that realm of unforgettableness. So you forget. A human being wasn't before, it's not going to be later. You didn't live in the past, I mean, just a little couple of years, and in the future, also a couple of years, but you're not over an asid. Luma zois, halema terbitsena. However, a person who learns terbitsena, this person takes that quality of hester, of concealment, and of forgetfulness, and vachoshech and darkness, but he extracts from it the maila. He's not destroyed by the darkness. Darkness is scary. He's not destroyed by forgetfulness. The Chochmah is not withheld from him, chasachta, just the opposite. By being tzanua, he now is able to tap into all of the blessings of darkness. And the blessings of, there are many blessings that come with darkness. Like Rabbi Nachman says, what would it be if a person would never forget the averis he did? He wouldn't be able to move on in life. There's a blessing in darkness. There's a blessing in forgetting. But here, it's not forgetting. Here, that's not the blessing we're talking about. Just the opposite. By entering into this realm of mistarim, of concealment, of hester, the person is able to tap into to some degree, I mean, he's a human being, but he's able to tap into this memory of Hashem. And Hashem doesn't forget. If you learn Torah, especially in a shul, which is a holy place, like it's like a Har Sinai, and he does it in a way that's tzanua, he's attaching himself to the one who doesn't forget. The one who said that v'hayolam, the world should be created. Sha'olav nema, regarding whom it says, we say in the davening of Shem Kippur, "Ve'ein shikcha lefnei kisei kvedach," that by Hashem's throne, there's no such thing as forgetting. "Ve'ein shikcha lefnei kisei kvedach," there's no forgetting by Hashem's throne. Kihu v'chachmasa v'dayta ritzon echad, like Rambam says at the beginning of Mishnah Torah. Hashem and his chachma and his das and his ratzon, everything is one. K'lishon Rabbi Seinu, g'shem shehu haya ha'viviya. And the same way that Hashem was, is, and will always be, when you attach yourself to him, gam akol gol v'yadu l'fana. Koach shel hester kaim ba'olam. The koach of hester, of concealment, exists in the world. V'uchal al kol adam. That's why you could, hester could affect you in such a way that you don't remember what you learned. It's nista mimcha, it's hidden from you. You're in the dark. You learn something, but you can't remember it. You had a certain experience, but it didn't change you. You forget it. That's hester. That's the downside of hester. That's the downside of darkness, of the night, and of concealment. When something is concealed from you, you don't remember it anymore. Habachira biyad kol adam. Where does man exercise his free will? What's the bechira that a person has? A bechira biyad kol adam hi heichen lahachil osa. When to apply the hester? When to squeeze the tube that says hester? When to use the hester? How do you use darkness in your life? How do you use challenges? Darkness, the choshech, the anan, and arafel. Some people use darkness and difficulties and challenges as a way of remembering. Some people use darkness and challenges as a way of forgetting, or an excuse to forget. Some people go through difficulties like we're going through now, and they forget and it causes them to forget it. And they'll forget it, and it causes them to forget what's most important in life, and they sit around all day doing nothing of particular significance or important, just playing with their phones or something. Or waiting for the stock market to go up or something. I don't know, whatever they do. There are other people who use this time that's difficult and challenging to remember what the tachlis is in life. For some people, the darkness is an opportunity to forget. Because crazy things happen in the darkness at night. It can be a time of the biggest concealment, the biggest test upon him, and the greatest distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only you're not remembering what you learned, you're not learning. You stop, sleep all the time, do nothing. This is a time of choshech that we're in right now. How do you use the choshech is up to you. Some people will use choshech as a time to go into that darker place, dark not bad, into that hidden place of Hashem, his boidus, his bonanus, become a person that enters into that makom tzanua with Hashem by being more alone, not having to spend every minute of your day being with a lot of people, in a shul with a lot of people, whatever, but by being in a makom tzanua and using that darkness and that choshech as an opportunity to get closer to the one who is hidden in darkness, Yoshev Yisrael, who's hidden in concealment. For other people, this challenge of the time they were in is being used as a way of just the opposite, of shikha, of forgetting. We were on a, you know, every couple of days, there's this meeting with Rabbanim and doctors, we're talking about the matzav and what's the latest thing that's going on. And there was one Rav who was expressing his pain that he spoke to a certain Adam Godel who said that watching what's going on with the Bachram, that he felt that it's going to take 5 years to bring back a lot of the Bachram to where they were before this happened. It's going to take 5 years to bring back the Bachram. I don't know how he got the number 5 years, but what he's saying is that there's a lot of guys during this time who were yeshiva bachrim 2 months ago, and now they're forgetting what it means to be yeshiva bachrim. In other words, the darkness of COVID-19, of corona, of this period, is causing them to forget. Shikha. Choshech is the letters, shachar. So they're forgetting what it means to be a Ben Torah, how to talk like a Ben Torah, how to dress like a Ben Torah, how to spend one's time like a Ben Torah. The choshech of Corona has caused many chevra, this Rashi was saying, to forget. Then there are other people. The Rashi wasn't talking about, I'm just saying that on my own. There are other people for whom this choshech of Corona, this darkness, is allowing them an opportunity to find Hashem's address, to get closer to Hashem. Hashem's address is b'mistarim. He's everywhere, of course. But Hashem's b'mistarim tivken hashem, b'mistarim. Hashem's address is b'mistarim, a hidden place, alone. Maybe Shimon in the cave. Those people are finding this time as an unbelievable resource of memory, of remembering why God created me, remembering why I married this person, remembering why I had kids, remembering how nice it is to have food and a roof over your head, remembering how it's nice just to smell, to breathe in some fresh air, remembering how grateful one should be for waking up in the morning without 104 fever and choking to death. It's a dafka time of remembering. So the same time of darkness, of choshech, for some people, it causes you to forget, causes shikha. Choshech, shikha, gone, a loss of memory. For other people, the darkness, the choshech, the anan, and arafel of a challenge in life, davke is the cause of memory, of remembering the purpose of my life, of remembering things in life that over time I've been so busy not being tsanua, meaning being out there in the world with a billion, million things going on in people that I have forgotten are important, I no longer remember. So the same time, for some, is a cause of unbelievable memory. And for others, it's a cause of terrible shikha. Terrible shikha. I've spoken already a little bit about how we're going to need to try to understand the panic that people felt being alone. I'm not talking about almanas, you understand. I'm not talking about people who are sick, God forbid, are alone, or an almana that's alone, or someone in a nursing home. I'm not talking, God forbid. I'm talking about like people, like regular people. They were panicking being alone. I had a very chashuv bach that I'm close to. He couldn't handle it. He could not handle being alone. Akidekach, that even though I warned him that by not being alone at this time, he's potentially in danger. I'm told this was a few weeks ago, and it was really much, much more prevalent, the sickness. I warned him that he's endangering his health and potentially the health of other people. His answer is, I can't. I can't be alone. I can't be alone. What's the panic of being alone? Why can't you be alone? Why can't you be by yourself? What's wrong with being alone? There are many, many answers to this question. It's a deep sugya of why a person, a Jew, can't be by himself. I'm not talking about permanently. I kept on telling this guy, it's not going to be forever. And you could, you know, you're Zooming and you could sit 6 feet apart, but you have to go into be with, what's the matter with you? I mean, why not? the same way that I've not been able to understand even at the height of the sickness. I know I've spoken about this a lot. Please be mindful of me. But at the height of the sickness, that somebody cannot envision davening by himself. I understand if something is against halacha, but it's not against halacha because all the rabbanim and poskim were saying you have to daven by yourself. It wasn't against halacha. I also would not do anything against halacha, but it's not against halacha. We were davening with a chevron until the last minute. I'm looking right now at Jeff and at David, the mechutanim, came on the screen now, my two buddies, Jeff and David. And we tried to daven together as long as we were allowed to. Remember? As long as we were allowed to. And then the din was, you're not allowed to. And then you said goodbye, and we're not allowed to. And then you have to daven by yourself. Because then Hashem is saying, right now you have to daven by yourself. So why were people persisting? Even though it's against halacha, they were told it's against halacha, and it's a sakanas nefashas. Selfish? Why? What was the fear of being alone? Rabbi Shimon did so well when he was by himself. Moshe Rabbeinu was very much lich by himself. Yosef HaTzadik was gewaldik when he was by himself. But Moshe Kapaya and Yosel HaPandru can't manage when they're by themselves. Why? Why are you afraid that you're going to forget what it means to be a Jew if you have to daven by yourself for a couple of weeks, turns into months? Why are you afraid you're going to forget what it means to be a Jew? Then I speak to other people. The other people tell me, I've never remembered as much about what it means to be a Jew as this time that I'm alone. I've never remembered as much. Nothing has ever helped my memory of how much I love my wife and my kids, of how much I love my life. So one guy is afraid that if he's not together with everybody else at shul or at work, then he's going to forget everything and everything is done. The other one says, no, look, I'm not going to go against halacha, but as long as halacha says I'm supposed to daven by myself, I'm enjoying and reaping the benefits of what? Of the tznius. Of being b'makom tzanua, of having a time in life where the darkness is not something that you have to understand. The darkness is not here to work against you. Hashem brought a darkness upon us to save us. That's why my whole take on this has always been very positive from the first day. Those who are listening to me, if you have the misfortune of having been through that with me, of listening to me so much. From the first day, I'm not sad about this. At the very beginning, to get past the shock of such a strange thing, but then I'm not sad about it. I'm sad about people who are sick and died. I'm sad about what's going on. People are alone. I'm sad about the people who are sad about being alone. Of course I'm sad. You don't want to see anybody having a hard time. But I need about me. Maza? Ezeofi. Forced his bonus. If I can only figure out how to get rid of the phone, that's my next step. So Shabbos. We're going to be looking back, once this is over, we're going to be looking back and crying, missing those Shabboses. Not that we didn't have, it's bad not to have Kriyas HaTorah, we didn't have Tefillah B'Tzibur, but that's not our fault. I don't. That's my fault that I can't hear Kriyas HaTorah. That's not my fault. The Baruch Shem wants to end it. I'm not agonizing over that because that's not my fault. And if that only happened to me, then I'd feel a bit like I must, you know, I'm bad. That's why God did it to me. But it's a mock of the whole world. I should put a mock in the whole world. So I'm not agonizing over my lost parish. Everybody's saying, how am I going to make up this parish? Make up this parish. Okay, there's a Ruah, there's a Mogan Avram, it's a Lebedic Indian. I don't agonize over that stuff. I'm enjoying the moment I'm in. And the moment I'm in the Choshech, in the Anan, in the Arofel, is a time where I'm able to feel more connected to the one who dwells in darkness. Does that mean that I'm dreading going back into the public? No, then that's the avoider of being back in the, and doing that avoider. I mean, I'm naturally, somebody who told me, one of my son-in-law said to me a joke that this like a, for people who are, I forgot what you call it, introverted, for introverts, this is like, they're like living it up, right? Introverts, I'm an introverted person by nature. That's the truth. It's not easy for me to be out. So now there's also this is a time where it's a machayev for a person who by nature is an introvert. But I'm a kabbal that when the time comes where Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai heard that it was time, say mi marazchem, go out of the cave. As soon as we get the bas kol, say mi marazchem, leave the cave, I'm going to go out. And then I'll be mechazik myself that, yes, it's back, I'm back in that world, and now everybody that you know, to hear this one tell me that he had a pshat in the parasha. Yeah. I'm ready for it. I miss everybody and I'm ready for it. That's the avoider. But right now, the avoider is choshech, hanan, v'arafel, and one needs to try to use this time as a way to remember why I married this person, why I wanted to bring children to the world, why I want to get up in the morning. Because it's easy to forget that. Those items. It's easy to forget. How do you use this time of darkness? That's the shaila. That's what he's explaining. Harbichir b'yad kol adam yehechan lehachilosa. How do you use the time of Choshech, of Hester, of darkness? How do you use that? To grow or to shrivel up and say, I can't be by myself. I'm gonna go to the secret minion that's being held in somebody's driveway, you know, and I'm gonna go to the secret minion because I can't. Like, why? Because you're so devoted to God. If you're so devoted to God, why are you going against what God told you through the Rabbanim and the postman? God said, don't have them in the driveway of those people. Why are you doing it? It's against what God wants. So clearly that has nothing to do with Dveikus Bashem. It's something else. The fear of being alone. The fear of thinking. The fear of actually sitting in a room with nobody else but Kadosh Baruch Hu to talk to. And that's called Zman Tefillah. No schmoozing with the guy next to me, no going down for a kiddush, no leaving early, coming late. Like I said the other day, what's the pshat to come late to your own davening? So here you have, I'm wondering what are these people doing? You have certain Jews that my whole life, I've never seen them come like until after Ashrei. There's certain people like that, they never come to davening until after Ashrei. Like what are they doing now? Their whole life they're catching up with davening, right? Or they're skipping. How do you do that when you're by yourself? What do you mean you're catching up? What are you skipping? I'm wondering. I'm gonna try to find out. I'm gonna try to talk to some chevre afterwards. Like, what did you do during Corona when you couldn't come late to your own davening? You couldn't leave early your own davening. You couldn't skip. I mean, if you did, that's you know between you and God. You couldn't skip. You couldn't do the makeup thing, you know, the Baruch Shamar Ashrei Yistabach thing. You couldn't do that because where are you going? So what did you do? It's a choice. Some people just use it as an opportunity to scream, I can't dive by myself. I can't take this. Get me back to some driver where I could show up late and leave early, where I could schmooze to some other guy. Even though it might cost me my life or his, I'll do it. That's for some people. Other people said, yeah, say that, Hashem, now is the time you want me to go into the choshech, the anan thereof, you want me to go into the darkness, you want me to be alone right now? You know something? I was told, Rabbi Shalom, that you also are somewhat of a, what's the word again? I forgot I just said it. Not a loner. Unmute yourself. What's the word again? You like to be by yourself. I forgot. No. Anyway, I heard Rabbi Shalom.
Introvert.
I heard Rabbi Shalom that you kivyachol, you also have an inyan, an introvert. You must have a big inyan being an introvert because we're asking for so long to show some nisim, some other things. You know, let us see who you are. So you're an introvert. I'm also an introvert. So two introverts can hang out a little bit now. That's not going to pass love my introversion. It's not going to pass love your introversion. So we're going to be introverts together. I'm a chai. To be introvert together, what am I chai? To be introvert together with the Bari Olam, to be introvert. To feel that I'm Amish with you. I don't have to go looking for, I don't have to go looking for an illegal minion. As of this moment here in the five towns, not in the five towns, in New York State, any gathering of 10 is illegal. It's illegal. It's against the law. And since it's against the law, it's against Allah. We're not talking about the Soviet Union. This is not Nazi Germany. There's no gzeir against the Jewish people. There's no gzeirist against us. There's a government that's trying to save us from killing ourselves and hurting other people. So the Baruch Shalom is saying, now, Davin, just with me, two introverts. Learning. So now I'm your chavrus. Yoishev is trying to connect. If you're zoich and you have sons that live with you at home, or you learn with your daughters together, or your wife, okay, you can still have chavrus, Baruch Hashem. But what if you're by yourself, like this bacher? So you're yoishev and kashbaruch is trying to connect. What's so bad to have the Baruch Shalom as a chavrus? What's so bad? I don't understand the whole crying, the whole krechsing, the whole inyan. It's hard for me to understand. What we're learning now places into a certain context on a deeper level to understand the choice that a person has of what he does with darkness. But already I see the time. We hope that the time will come soon that Hashem will say it. Because we miss each other and we want to be together. And there are many, many, many marvelous of serving Hashem together. And that's what I was talking about last night in the Pirkei Avos here. Of the Talmud Torah Rabbim and being together in Tefillah B'Tzibur, you think I don't care about Tefillah B'Tzibur? I don't care about Kriyas Torah. Of course, just like all of us, we care about all of these things, and we're hoping to have them back. Mitzvah should be soon. Sumi Marazchem, and we'll come back together and we'll leave the cave and we'll all be together. But when we'll be back together, Hashem should help us to remember, not to forget, to remember what we learned in the cave, not to forget what we learned in the cave, to remember. And then Hashem will remember us as he promised. Zocher es kirenu light. I'll never forget you. The blush of Amitis. Maybe if I don't see any of you before Shabbos, Alechtik and Shabbos. Alechtik and Shabbos. I hope some of you all see Mr. Shem later.
Bye, Rabbi.
Have a good day.
Hey, Rabbi.